I want to welcome everybody. Let's worship our God today and say, to God be all the glory. Here we go. To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gates that all may go in. Sing the chorus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Sing the next verse. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. One more verse. Great things. Great things He has taught us, great things He has done, and great all rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Let's sing this bridge. Glory, 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 give Him glory, great things He has done. Glory, 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 give Him glory, great things. One more time, say, glory, 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 give Him glory, great things He has done. Glory, 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 give Him glory, great things He has done. One last time, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Sing like this with me. Sing His name. Say, Jesus, Jesus, You're the answer to all I'm searching for. Jesus, Jesus, there's no question, You're what my heart is longing for. You're my hope, You're my strength, You're my peace in the stormy sea. You're my life, my very soul, my guiding light, wherever I may go. Sing it again. Jesus, 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 You're the answer to all I'm searching for. Jesus, Jesus, There's no question, you're what my heart is longing for. You're my hope, you're my strength, you're my peace in the stormy sea. You're my life, my very source, my guiding light, wherever I may go. Sing, you're what my heart, you're what my heart is longing for. You're what my heart is longing for. More of you, more of you. You're what my heart is longing for. Let's go up. You're what my heart is longing for. You're my home, 'cause you're my strength, you're my peace in the stormy sea. You're my life, my very source, my guiding light, wherever my heart is longing for. You're what 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 my heart is longing for. Enrique Clay. You're what my heart, you're what my heart is longing for. You're what my heart is longing for. Amen. Let's sing like this. Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is mine. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name. Your name is healing today, say. Oh, Jesus, your name is healing. Jesus, your name gives sight. Oh, Jesus, your name will free every captive. Jesus, your name. Let's go up. In Jesus, your name is holy. In Jesus, your name brings life. In Jesus, your name above every other. Jesus, your name is life. It breaks every stronghold. Say your name. Jesus, your name will. every stronghold. Jesus, your name is love. Your name. And Jesus, your name is love. One last time, your name. And Jesus, your name is love. Your name.
Wow, what a sweet time we just had in worship. And the line of that song says, Jesus, your name is life. And isn't that true, friends, that when we draw near to Jesus and he draws near to us, we receive his eternal life. Would you pray with me today? Father, we thank you that you are life. We thank you that we can count on you. We thank you that when we draw near to you, you draw near to us, Lord, and you fill us with your everlasting life. Lord, I pray for anybody that's watching this service even now that's feeling maybe discouraged or that's feeling lonely, maybe even depressed. I pray that you would fill them with your presence and with your eternal life, Lord. Thank you for meeting us in our place of worship, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being with us today for our online services. And I'd especially like to welcome anybody that's checking us out for the first time. If you're with us for the first time, thank you so much for being with us online today. Today, we get to continue on in our message series, Life with Jesus, where we've been looking at Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. I wanted to mention that next weekend, we're going to be having our Thanksgiving celebration services. So be sure to join us, whether you join us online or for our in-person outdoor services at Village Christian School. Once again, we want to say thank you for your ongoing generosity and giving. We encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or visiting our website and clicking on the Give tab. Thank you once again for doing so. And now let's continue on in our service.
Hey, welcome everybody. If you are a visitor or guest, my name is Tom, and what a privilege to have you with us here today. And of course, to my CA family, I've been praying for our time together. It's always a joy to be with you. Well, a number of years ago, there's a pastor, his name was Chuck Swindoll, and he was invited to teach at a week-long conference. And on the very first night of the conference, he met a couple that he connected with, and they seemed really great and amazing, and they seemed to be quite happy to be there. But he noticed that each evening, whenever he was teaching, that about 10 minutes into each message, the husband would be fast asleep. And night after night, this happened, and as you might imagine, Chuck got kind of irritated inside and kind of wondered, what's the deal with that guy? In fact, he even got to the point where he started thinking things like, you know, he probably doesn't even want to be here. He's just here because his, you know, wife is making him come. Well, on the last evening of the week-long conference, the wife of the guy said to Chuck, could I meet with you just for a moment? And so they stepped to the side of the gathering point. And Chuck felt like he already knew what she was going to say. She was going to ask for prayer because her husband was spiritually disinterested and that, you know, he was only there because she dragged him. But instead, this is what the woman said. She said, I want you to know that my husband is in the last stages of terminal cancer. And he's on medication for the pain that actually makes him quite drowsy. But his last wish was to come to this conference to hear you speak because you are his favorite Bible teacher of all time. He wanted to meet you. He wanted to be here. And so I want to thank you for this week and what you've done in my husband's life. A woman then walked away, and Chuck Swindoll said, I stood there after she left, all alone, as deeply rebuked as I have ever been. Let me ask you, have you ever passed a judgment on someone only later to discover maybe you didn't know the whole story? I think most of us, I know I have, I think most of us have had that experience. Or let me flip the script. Have you ever had someone pass judgment on you where you end up feeling like, but they don't know the whole story? And that can be quite painful. In fact, I think that's probably happened to all of us as well. You know, Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, in this series that we're in, Life with Jesus, he had something to say about the danger of passing judgment. And we're going to consider that. But before we do, let's pray. So God, now we pray that you would speak to us from your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would build faith in us, that you would teach us, you inspire us and correct us, and you would free us to live the lives that you're calling us to live, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are about to hear one of Jesus's most quoted and least understood teachings of all time. Here's what he said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and onward. He begins by saying this: "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your brother or sister's eye when you have a log in your own eye? How can you think of saying to your brother or sister, 'Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, and then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your brother or sister's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to the pigs. They will trample the pearls and then turn and attack you." Now, this passage that Jesus just spoke, it raises a lot of questions for us. For example, does this passage mean, is Jesus intending to say that we should never judge anything or anyone? Is Jesus calling for the obliteration of all moral distinctions? Does this mean that Jesus is making each person a law unto themselves? What's going on here? Well, sometimes to understand what Jesus is saying, you have to first understand what he is not saying. Jesus is not calling for the obliteration of all moral distinctions where we all just become a law in and of ourselves. If he was, then he wouldn't have taught the entire rest of the Sermon on the Mount, right? He would have said something like this: well, my sermon is just do whatever seems right to you in your own heart. But Jesus never actually says that. Likewise, in a couple of weeks, we'll see that Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 7, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." So that entails a kind of judgment. Plus, the same Jesus who says, "Do not judge others," also said these words in Matthew 18, verses 15 and on. He says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses." We must always, 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 always let God's word interpret God's word. And when we do that, it's clear that "do not judge others" does not mean that no one should ever be concerned to identify the moral failures of others and the members of the community of Jesus and help them then recover. We also know this because earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke about forgiving others. And forgiveness presupposes that one recognizes that another person has done wrong. So in that sense, even forgiveness entails a kind of judgment. So now that we've kind of cleared out what Jesus does not mean by the words, "do not judge others," we can now hear what he does mean. The word Jesus uses here for the word judge has a very broad set of meanings. And when that happens, you have to look at the context and the tone to determine the meaning that is intended. This happens in all language, right? Like, I can say to someone that I love dark chocolate brownies with walnuts, and that's true, I do. And I can also say, I love my wife, Allison. That's also true. And as much as I love dark chocolate brownies with walnuts, I am not saying the same thing about them as I am saying about Allison, right? And any native speaker would know that and understand that, even though I use the word love and I use it in two different ways. Here's the key to what Jesus is saying when he says, do not judge others. Ready? Here it is. There is a big difference between making a judgment and passing a judgment. Let me explain. We make a judgment when we say, this person's not a good real estate agent, and I'm going to hire a different real estate agent to be my agent. We pass a judgment when we say, this person is not a good real estate agent. He is intentionally trying to harm me and take advantage of me. And I know this because I can see into his soul and his motivations. You see, when Jesus says, do not judge others, he is saying, do not pass judgment against others, despising them, presuming to know all of their motives. Now, why would Jesus, or why does Jesus, teach us to not pass judgments against each other? Well, three reasons, I would say, from Scripture. The first is this, is that we don't have the authority to pass judgments. Three times here, Jesus says the word translated brothers and sisters. To be someone's brother or sister is a relationship of equals, your siblings, your equals. Judgment is an act done by a superior. That's why God's word also says it this way in Romans 14, verses 10 and on. It says this, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So when it says, why do you judge your brothers and sisters here? It's communicating that that's not your role. It's not my role. Likewise, this passage helps us understand which definition to use for the word judge when Jesus says, do not judge. Because this passage uses the exact same word that Jesus uses for the word judge, but then it goes on to capture that it's speaking not about making a decision. It's talking about making a despising accusation based on a spirit of condemnation. Jesus is saying, don't despise, don't look down upon, or condemn your brothers or sisters in Christ. Why not? Because you don't have the authority to do so. In other words, there is a judge and you're not it. But on the other hand, as we live in the light of this thing called the kingdom of God, we should never run around doing whatever we feel like doing. Why not? Well, because each of us will give a personal account of our life to God. And since God is our judge, to whom we will each give a personal account, two things should result. First, we are now, because God is the judge, freed up to not spend our time despising or passing judgment on our brothers or sisters in Christ. But then also, since we know that God is our judge, each of us should be in the practice of measuring our own heart, our own life, our own actions and motivations in the light of God's righteous word. Since I will give an account of my life to God, I need to live now in the light of that reality. Plus, when I'm tempted to pass judgment on someone else, I also need to live in the light of the reality that God is their judge, that he has that authority, that he is our superior, and we are only each other's equals as brothers and sisters in Christ. The second thing we see from Scripture is this, is that we don't have the insight to pass judgment. Now, not all of our mistaken judgments are as dramatic as Chuck Swindoll's story with that cancer patient at that conference. But mistaken judgments can happen in everyday life too. In fact, a few weeks ago, a woman I know was thirsty. She wanted a Diet Coke, so she pulled into the drive-thru at a local McDonald's. And she ordered the Diet Coke, and she waited in line there. And while she waited, she noticed the car in front of her. Now, she told me that the car in front of her had some bumper stickers on it that irritated her, and it was clear that they didn't share the same political viewpoint. And honestly, the person in the car in front of her, when they got to the pay station, was taking a really long time to pay. And the woman was in a little bit of a hurry, and she just started thinking, all I wanted was a Diet Coke, and now I get stuck behind this slow-moving nut job of a person. Well, finally, the irritating car in front of her finished the transaction and drove off. My friend then pulled up into the window to pay for the Diet Coke. And the attendant had a surprise for her. This is what the attendant said. Said, the car that was in front of you wanted to pay for your order. That's part of the reason why it took so long for them to pay, because we were ringing up multiple orders. They just wanted to do it to be generous to you. She said, you know, I just thought, man, I'm so quick to pass a judgment. We simply do not have the total insight in order to pass judgment on others wisely and fairly. Jesus says, the standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. I don't want you to pass judgment on me with partial knowledge. So then why is it that my heart is so tempted to pass judgment on you with partial knowledge? When it comes to passing judgment on someone, we all must remember this reality. I don't know what I don't know. When someone does something, don't assume that you know all the motivations of their heart. You don't know why that person did that. You don't know if their intentions of their heart were maybe evil or otherwise. You don't know if it was on air or on purpose. In fact, the Bible tells us that you don't even know your own heart, and neither do I. Jeremiah 17:9 says it this way, "The heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it?" How on earth can I claim to know my brother or sister's heart when the Bible says my own heart is desperately and deceitfully wicked? You and I deceive ourselves all the time. And yet we can be tempted to want to pass judgment on our brothers and sisters as if we know their entire heart's condition and motivation. Here's what I know to be true about me, and I think it might be true about some of you as well. Someone can do the same thing that I do to them, the exact same thing. But when I do it, I give myself the benefit of the doubt. But when they do it, you can feel like you know their intention was malicious from the start. So it's kind of like this. You did it to me because you're evil, but I did it to you because I just made a mistake. You did it to me because you hate me, but I did it to you in spite of the fact that I love you, and of course you ought to know that. You forgot to get back to me because you're dishonoring me, but I forgot to get back to you because I just have a lot on my plate right now. It's so true about us that we want grace for ourselves even when we're tempted to pass judgment on our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's how we can treat one another. And if you can't say amen to that, you ought to say ouch, because it's true of us. That's precisely how we are as people unless we live in the light of the kingdom of God. The third thing we see from Scripture on this would be this, that we don't have the perfection to pass judgment. Part of the humility to not condemn and pass judgment is because we recognize our discernment is not always perfect. Our judgments can be faulty because we presume the best about those that we like, and we presume the worst about those that we don't like. For example, imagine in a work setting, maybe you have a coworker or you supervise somebody, let's say, named Joe. And if you like Joe and Joe messes up, you will tend to discount that as a mistake. Oh, I like Joe. He's a good guy. It was probably just a mistake. But if you don't like Joe and Joe messes up, you will tend, instead of discounting it, you will amplify that mistake and you will say he messed up on purpose because he's just a bad apple. In fact, Jesus, the image he uses here, is intentionally grotesque. Imagine a person with an entire log stuck in their eye, but spending all of their time focused on the speck in their brother or sister's eye. It's almost comical. If we go back to the very beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount here, remember that true disciples are marked by the Beatitudes, the congratulations statements. And some of those say that they are poor in spirit, that we are to be meek. So often, when I judge the motives of another person, I do so because I am wicked. We can think of someone and we can think, well, you probably did that because you're wicked. But in the back of our mind, we're thinking, or maybe even not aware that we're thinking, I know that you're wicked because I know that I'm wicked. Jesus says this, first, get rid of that log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your brother or sister's eyes. Imagine you had a meeting set up to deal with their speck, but first you had spent some time getting rid of the log in your own eye. How would that change your approach to the meeting? It certainly would make you more humble. Jesus is saying here, in light of the kingdom of God, we must be extremely humble when we identify the faults we might see in one another. Now, are there times where ethical discernment and community discipline is called for within the community of Jesus? Yes. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 18, as we read earlier. But such discernment must be made by those who are aware of their own failures and of God's grace and his forgiveness. You know, Chuck Swindoll felt rebuked as he stood there, because he assumed the worst about someone who actually came with the very best of intentions. And my friend felt convicted by their kind of everyday passing of judgment while getting a Diet Coke. But what about me and you? Have we done that recently? Does God have something he wants to apply to our hearts from this message? In fact, let's pray even now. Jesus, would you help us now to apply your word to our lives? The first group I want to speak to is this. Have you passed judgment on another brother or sister in Christ? Maybe you've done so in your heart and you need to ask God to forgive you. Maybe you've actually spoken to them and there's been a division because you've passed judgment on them. What do you need to do to go and ask their forgiveness and make it right? The second group I want to speak to is maybe some of you are thinking, but what do I do if a brother or sister in Christ has actually sinned against me? Then as Jesus said in Matthew 18, go and speak to them directly, but go humbly as one sinner in need of grace speaking to another sinner in need of grace with the heart and goal of understanding and reconciling. Sometimes when I talk to people and I point out that passage, they'll say, well, I just want to avoid the conflict. I don't want to go and talk to them. But the reality is, if you don't want to go talk to them about how they've sinned against you, but you're still kind of hanging on to that in your heart and you feel a bitterness towards them, then you have passed a judgment that your brother and sister are not worth it to you to have that awkward conversation. And if we're not careful, we can spend all of our time talking about one another rather than talking to one another as Jesus commanded in Matthew 18. We want to pray even now, God, would you help us to have a humble spirit to reign in our lives? Lord, would you forgive us when we have despised and condemned and believed the worst about our brothers and sisters in Christ without knowing the whole story? Sometimes without even talking to them. Lord, remind us when we're quick to want to pass judgment on others that there's a day coming when we will stand accountable before you as our judge. In fact, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, and I want to give you that opportunity right now. You were created to do life with God. You were created to be in a loving, personal, growing relationship with God. And yet sin entered the world and didn't just enter the world. It entered your heart and my heart and our actions. And that separated us from God. Because he's holy, because he's righteous, because he's a God of justice. And yet God didn't want that separation to be the end of the story. And so in God's justice, as well as his love, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who came freely to reveal to us the truth and reality of who God is. And then to go and die on the cross so that he could pay the penalty for our sin, so that justice could be served, that we could be judged, but we are judged by the one who loves us the most, Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we can enter into his grace and we can have our sins covered and paid for. We can now be made at peace with God again. And we can not only be made at peace with God, but we can live in the light of his word in a personal growing relationship with him through the power of his Holy Spirit and word. If that's you right now, you want to give your life to Christ, just pray these words with me. God, right now, Father, I am giving you my life. I'm putting my faith and hope and trust in you. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to follow Jesus as the leader and Lord and Savior of my life. Make me new from the inside out. In Jesus' name, I pray. Hey, listen, if you've prayed that prayer, text in, let us know, email in. We want to celebrate with you and follow up with you. And also, I just want to remind all of us who are in Christ. For those of us who are in Christ, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So now, let us live lives where we're not passing judgment in a condemning spirit with one another. Instead, let us be freed up to encourage and build one another up with the same love that Christ has loved us with. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thank you everybody for joining us this week. I pray that God would build you up through this message and you would live it out this week with joy. Thanks, everyone.
Bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, Lord, I fall apart. 'Cause you're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, say, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Let's sing this bridge. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you, say, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God. How I need you.
Well, thank you once again for being with us for our online services. And I wanted to say one more time, if you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ at any point during the service, or if you simply would like to know more about what that means to follow Christ, please let us know so that a pastor can follow up with you. You can email us at the address that is on your screen now, or you can simply text the word decision to the number 52855. Also, another reminder that next weekend we'll be having our Thanksgiving celebration services, so please make plans to be with us. And now, let me close us with this benediction out of the book of Psalms. Let us enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks and praise to his name. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all the generations. Be well, Christian Assembly. Have a great week.